brainwashed in our childhood, brainwashed by the schools, brainwashed by our teachers, brainwashed by all the rules, brainwashed by our leaders, by our kings and queens, brainwashed in the open and brainwashed behind the scenes.
Highly confused. Let's challenge his shattered view of the world.
Here's a little edge for the never believer. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Information Radio, live on the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. We're going to see if Ron Paul has anything to say. Here we go.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for July 7th. One reason people are unhappy with the way politics and governments operate is that people who run for office are known to say one thing and do another. Thus, we have the call for change. Candidates for high office make frequent use of that word. Even our House Republican Conference's recently released slogan highlights that word. Yet bringing about change is easier said than done. The American people are aware that government is broken and must be fixed. They will demand more than lip service as our problems become more severe. Change, then, cannot simply be a word. It must be the right program, one that gets us out of this mess, not one that just accelerates us down the same treacherous path. With our economy facing a perilous situation, the need to bring fiscal reform to our government is the cornerstone of the kind of change that is needed. Real budgetary and monetary reform would signify a true change of direction instead of merely a change of speed toward the economic cliff we are approaching. Americans realize that their own financial situation is perilous. The nation as a whole is deeply in debt, having mortgaged the future of our children and grandchildren. When politicians talk about what they plan to do for future generations, they ought to begin by stating how they will remove the huge debt burden, not how they will find more ways to spend more money they don't have. In order to allow Americans to pay for their needs, whether for health care, education, or basics like food and gasoline, we need to change tax and monetary policies so the American people control more of their own money. That money needs to stay in the economy and out of the government money pit. This means we must curb the voracious spending appetite of our federal government. We need to rein in international commitments, especially the very expensive cost of maintaining a worldwide military presence, as the key first step to restructuring our budget and economy in a fashion that will allow Americans to provide for themselves. We need to take a view of government that better reflects our own experience, as well as the wisdom of our nation's founders. There are very few constitutionally authorized federal powers, and returning daily government to this wisdom is real change. Working toward a less intrusive, less expensive federal government focused on defending against overt actions of force and fraud is the means to bringing about real change. As we hear the repeated claims of those who wish to cast themselves as agents of change, we will do well to recall that more federal meddling is not a change in direction at all, but just more of the same. We should be repealing these programs, not proposing costly new bureaucracies. Change, real change, the only kind of change that will quench the thirst of the American people for a new direction and provide us with the prosperity and security necessary to preserve our republic as a beacon of liberty, requires bold initiatives designed to move our country away from economic peril by putting faith in free citizens instead of in Washington. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Monday morning.
No problem, Ron Paul. It was our pleasure to call and speak to you, as always, here on the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. Thanks for checking in with us, Congressman Dr. Ron Paul. You want to go to revereradio.net or revereradionetwork.org or revereradio.org and hit the Make a Donation button. You want to go to total411.info to learn everything you need to know. We have a special report from the Onion News Network. We are going to go to that right now.
Welcome back. We now continue our coverage of our top news story this morning, President Bush's tour of America to survey the damage caused by his disastrous presidency.
Right, Tracy, here's what we know so far. The presidency started and hit America at around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time back on January 20th, 2001. Now, so far, that presidency has caused some $9 trillion worth of debt. It's left thousands of people dead, and still, even this morning, it continues to rage on. We have some footage to show you here of some of the survivors.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Arkansas has never seen nothing like this. This ain't the country. This is state. It's just mind-boggling.
He needs to see how bad it is down here.
You know, it's so sad. You can actually hear the fear in their voices.
Yeah.
The sheer destructive force of Bush caught people completely off guard in a lot of cases.
Well, joining us now live is Brian Scott. He's been following the president on his tour of the disaster area. Brian?
Tracy, President Bush has been showing real leadership out here. Yesterday, he started the day with a flyover tour of Kansas. Of course, that's one of the 50 states in the direct path of this presidency.
Yeah.
And then he stopped in Denver to deliver a very moving speech that offered as much encouragement as he could to the approximately 300 million people whose lives have been completely torn apart by him.
You really have to admire the strength he's showing in the face of all the adversity he's created.
Bush later met privately with a group of victims and personally assured them his administration would not abandon them as they seek to rebuild their lives in the wake of his administration.
Unbelievable.
We have a clip from that speech,
yeah.
So we should give a look and a listen to it right now.
I'll be seeing people whose lives were turned upside down. I'll do my very best to comfort them. I ask our nation, for those who are prayerful, to give a prayer for the victims.
And the president said he has been praying every night that he doesn't do any more damage than he's already wrought on the country.
Have there been any actual relief efforts started for the Bush victims?
From what we understand, some U.S. citizens were able to evacuate safely to Canada and take refuge there before the worst of this presidency hit.
Very good.
There's also been a huge outpouring of sympathy from overseas for those millions of Americans who were not able to get out of Bush's path.
It's just so upsetting.
Now, you see here in this footage people hoarding food, boarding up their houses.
Yeah.
They've said, some of them, they're not going to come out until the entire presidency has passed.
Now tell us, what is the president's emotional response been to all this?
Well, Tracy, he cares deeply, no doubt. You can see just by the look on his face, he did truly love America, and to see that he all but destroyed it, I think it's just very hard on him.
Yeah, I have to say, this might be one of his finest moments as president.
You know, I think history may bear you out on that, Tracy.
We're going to listen to the Reverend James David Manning preach on the danger that is Barack Hussein Obama. And stay tuned later. We'll be exploring the gender mystery of Ann Coulter, among many other important stories. Stay tuned.
Praying about something this morning during the oblation hour. And I was trying to discover why the men I know like Barack Hussein Obama. And this is what the Lord told me. Sometimes I figure out what's going on here, you know? I mean, what's this all about? Well, what are these people doing? Why are they behaving this way? And this is what the Lord told me, Elder Smith. This is what the Lord said, that the men that you thought were men that like this man, he inspires them, Barack does. When they see him, they're inspired. They feel like because he has accomplished, they can accomplish. They feel that because he's black and that he is in the limelight and he's doing things, that one day they can do it. Or one day their children, they are inspired by him. Their hearts leap for joy, even above Jesus, even above Martin King. When they see this man, they are in awe of him. Jesus said to me, inspired by him, and they want to be like him. But you see, the difference between you, Manning, and them is that you're already above where Barack is. I'm the one that inspires you. I'm the one that you worship. I'm the one that you want to be like, not like Barack. And that's the difference. I said, good God Almighty, there's not a greater truth I ever heard in my life. That's what's wrong with y'all. Y'all are weak. You don't have anything. Your abilities, you don't have them. And so therefore, you see a man with some, and you are in awe of his abilities, but I'm in awe of God. Can you hear what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying? It demonstrates just how nothing, if you are inspired by that demon, means you have nothing going for you at all. Nothing going for you. You are a weakling. You are a loser of the first magnitude. You loser, you. Jesus ought to be your inspiration. Jesus ought to be the one. And that's the difference. The man, it must be crazy. He's a black man. This man is Barack, is black, man. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you inspired? Why aren't you leaping at this opportunity? Why don't you think, I'm not looking at that? I'm already beyond that. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's my hope and inspiration. He's my everything. Jesus is. And that makes the world of difference. You see, and if the church puts his eyes on Jesus, you'll see Barack as a maggot. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If the church ever lifts up his eyes and sees the glory of the coming of the Lord, this man will be nothing to them. Talk to me now. Come on now. Come on, come on. Talk to me. They don't put their eyes on Jesus. They're not looking at Jesus. No man can outshine Jesus when you put your eyes on the Lord. Means these people who've been talking about they've been in the church have never been in the church at all. Then they really don't know Jesus after all. But can I say this to you? That when Jesus is the love of your life, other men don't turn your heads. And when Jesus becomes the love of the life of the Church of God in Christ, or the Assemblies of God, when Jesus becomes the love of the Baptist Church, when Jesus becomes the love of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, when Jesus becomes the love of those churches, then Barack will not turn their heads. He will not. I said, he will not turn their heads when they fall in love with him. And so, I was glad for prayer this morning, because I was trying to figure out, what is it about these people? But he told me, men are weak. They're so weak. They're so weak that they'll bow down and worship anything. By the way, did y'all hear what I said yesterday about the price of a gallon of milk is up to $5 a gallon? I mean, what is this? That gasoline and milk are both $5 per gallon. What is going on in our world today? I can tell you what's going on in our world today. Milk is $5 a gallon. Gasoline is $5 a gallon. And the reason why prices are going up the way they're going up is because it can be summed up in three words. Barack Hussein Obama. And what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. Everybody now knows that America is under a trance. Everybody worldwide, business-wise, economically-wise, knows that the world is under a spiritual delusion by this long-legged Mac Daddy, the Chicago pimp named Obama. And because of that, other nations are now gouging everything they can get out of America, out of American pocketbooks of the families and homes of America, because Obama is at... Listen, if George Bush stood up and said something against Obama, they would kill him.
if and anybody, the media, the news media now controls every thought. I mean, what we are in now, when you look at the liberal news media, ABC, CBS, and NBC, and MSNBC, and CNN, and the major cable networks, and now even the Fox networks, it is now like we are living in communist Russia, where there is suppression over freedom of speech. Right now, you can't even say Barack Hussein's middle name. You can't say that man's middle name. If you do, the major news people will jump all over you like you are the worst person on the planet. You better not say nothing about Barack Hussein Obama. You better not say his wife looks like King Kong. You better not say Michelle Obama looks like King Kong's baby sister. She looks like a marriage. She looks like, what's his name out there in California? What's that guy's name? Who, Jay Leno. She looked like Jay Leno is her father and Whoopi Goldberg is her mama. It looked like Jay Leno and Whoopi Goldberg got together and hatched Michelle Obama. You better not say that. You had better not talk about these people. You better not talk about the fact that Obama is a spineless snake that won't defend his grandmama when Pastor Manning talked about her, won't defend his old snoozy, the floozy, trashy mama when Pastor Manning talked about her, and he won't defend his King Kong looking wife when Pastor Obama is a slimy snake that won't defend anybody. You'd better not say that. And did you know? Thank God for YouTube, because you can't speak out. We are like now living in communist Cuba. Is now we're like living in communist Russia or communist China, where the news media controls everything. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff being said about Obama, but you haven't heard about it. There's a whole lot of stuff being said about McCain, but you haven't heard about it. There's a whole lot of stuff being said now about Hillary flipping and Terry McAuliffe and Lanny Davis and all that crowd that was a month ago talking about this is bloody murder, this is hijacking of the denomination, we're going to fight to the end, and this will not stand, and we're going to take it to August and take it to Denver. All that now, Lanny Davis and Terry McAuliffe are sucking up to Obama. I mean, and Hillary is now out on the stroll, and Bill has allowed his wife to get out on the whole stroll for Obama. You'd better not say that publicly. If you do, they will come to your house and arrest you and tear the tongue out of your baby's mouth if you talk about that. We're living in communist America now, because the liberal news media is supporting this homosexual, bisexual, crack-smoking pimp out of Chicago called Barack Hussein Obama, and the world is now raising their prices. Gasoline is going to $7 a gallon by the time November rolls around, and bread and milk will be outside of your ability to afford it, because George Bush and nobody in the Congress or Senate can say anything about this power that has swept across America called Barack Hussein Obama. And there you have my commentary and prayer for today. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the instruction of praying for wisdom, and in all our wisdom and get understanding. We thank you for praying for knowledge, that it will bring peace and it will bring contentment and it will bring strength. We thank you, Lord. And I pray that as I've spoken to many hearts today, and many of these people, you know, they feel that I'm an evil man. They feel that I'm a jealous man. Some feel that I'm a jobless, jealous man. But I pray that they would just listen to what I'm saying and then pray about it. And I know that you, Almighty God, will reveal the truth to them in their hearts, that we're paying $5 a gallon for milk. We've never had to do that in all the days of our lives. We're paying $5 a gallon for gasoline because Barack Hussein Obama is now running America. He's now running the media. He is controlling. We live in a communist nation now where you can't get the truth about him published. You can't get the truth about who he is in the newspapers, nor can you get it on television. But Lord, we thank God for your word. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And I thank God for the temple hour prayer. And just like they prayed against communist China, and just like they prayed against communist Russia, and those empires were destroyed and will be destroyed, this emissary of the devil will likewise be destroyed because of the power of prayer and prophecy. And to Almighty God belongs all the glory. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for uniting people with us here today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. But I want to say this about President Bill Clinton. If I can just say this, and I pray y'all will give me a moment, and then we're going to get back to our prayer requests. Amen. And reading of those and praying for them. But I got them here on the altar. I saw up in Unity, New Hampshire this past weekend where Senator Hillary Clinton met with Senator Barack Obama in what is now dubbed as the Unity Meeting up in Unity, New Hampshire, coalescing their two campaigns together. And Hillary is now going to make an attempt to help Barack win the presidency. And I just want to say this to President William Jefferson Clinton. I have never been a supporter of either of the two of you, but I want to say this to you, President William Jefferson Clinton. Do not let Barack Hussein Obama pimp your wife Hillary. Don't do it. Don't do it. Bill, well, President Clinton, Barack was sitting on that stool like Iceberg Slim, and Hillary was up there talking about unity. And just 3 weeks ago, Bill, Terry McAuliffe, and Lanny Davis, and your whole campaign were expressing outrage at how the Democratic Party had stolen the nomination, how they had treated, how they had dogged you, how black people had trashed you and called you a racist. And even though I am not for you, I know in my heart that you are not a racist. I know that black folk turned on you without mercy and without cause and unjustly. And for this man, this long-legged Mac Daddy, this pimp out of Chicago, this Chicago Slim pimp named Barack Hussein Obama, and man, he's getting ready to pimp your wife, Bill, President Clinton. Don't let him do that. Don't let him put Hillary out on the stroll for her, for him. Don't do that. Don't do that, President Clinton. Listen, you need to wake up and realize the Democratic Party doesn't want you. They don't want Hillary. They don't want y'all. Hillary would have won the primary had the Democratic Party not worked so feverishly against you. They don't want you. They don't want you. So don't try to make nice. And President Clinton, don't let Barack pimp your woman. Don't do that. You need to understand there are a whole lot of them, and I'm not the only one to feel this way. There are a whole lot, up to like 35% of the women that voted for Hillary in the primary, they're not going to vote for Barack. Even if you push your wife out there and let her stroll for Barack, you can push her out there. But President, I'm asking you, don't do that. You can push her out there and let her stroll for Barack if you want. But they're still not going to vote for this man. They're not, because they know he's a devil. They know he's a demon. They know who he is. They know this man is a long-legged Mac Daddy, and everybody knows it. And these women across America are not going to vote for him. They're going to either stay home or vote for John McCain. But President, I mean, I regret that I have to use the kind of words I'm using when you're talking about pimping in the same breath of Hillary Clinton. But that's what's getting ready to happen, and there's no way to whitewash it. There's no way to make it pretty. President William Jefferson Clinton, stand up, be a man. If you have to go back to Chappaqua and be forgotten, just go back. But keep your dignity, brother. Keep your dignity, man. Keep your dignity and keep your wife. Keep your woman. Keep your woman out of the clutches of that long-legged Mac Daddy, that Chicago Slim pimp called Barack Hussein Obama. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we thank you. And Jesus, we praise you. And Lord, we love you and we magnify your name. Great and awesome is our God. His name is Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the truth. We are in some very difficult times here. And I thank you, Almighty God, for the opportunity to be able to speak the truth to the nations. Your truth, your power, your word, your spirit, through the power of revelation and prophecy. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah and amen.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for that report, that preaching, that important word on that long-legged Mac Daddy, that pimp. Barack Hussein Obama. Anyway, let's go to some music now. This is a rarity from Megan the Suspects. it's a meditation on how television brutalizes and sensitizes us to horror. It's called Thousands Dead.
Civil War in Chad is standoff. Capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead, dead. Miller had a blank dream way off. Capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead, dead. Okay, we split. TV's off. Capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead, dead. I know all the things you dream of. Capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead. Think of capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead, dead. Get on swinging, babe. Hats off. Capital in ruins. Thousands dead, dead. Thousands dead, dead. That's all, folks.
Live on Revere Radio Network, Sunday night. Hope you enjoyed that music and the message from the Reverend James David Manning. We're going to have more audio and music coming up for you tonight. I did want to report on an article in the latest edition of the magazine Hustler. The article is called, Is Ann Coulter a Man? So this has been a burning issue. In fact, you know what? We were supposed to have audio to go with this. Maybe we'll get that a bit later. But, by the way, each issue of Hustler at the newsstand now comes with a DVD. The DVD that accompanied this September 2008 issue was called The Da Vinci Load. So, Androgynous Ann Coulter on page 100. Ann, Andy, or Androgynous? Ted Newsom looks at our favorite neocon from a medical vantage point. What the fuck is Ann Coulter? Okay, Motormouth pinup girl for the forces of evil, sure. Soulless ice cream, yeah. Toady, yes. But is this lanky creature a woman? A man? A transvestite? A transsexual? An odd variation thereof? Or is a high-profile blonde with old-time carnival barkers called freaks like Zippy the Pinhead? Whatsies? Anyway. Many opponents place the commentator's sexuality at the mutant end of the spectrum. Before we toss these insults into the wastebasket, remember that sexual definition is a bell curve with extreme male and female examples on either end and a lot of combinations in between. The dictionary defines hermaphrodite as a being, animal or human, with the genitalia of both genders. Okay, putting aside for a moment whether or not Ann Coulter can be classified as a human being, many observers wonder if her chromosomes are arranged in the right order. That would make her more guy than girl, intersex to be precise, the new catch-all term for unfortunates with scrambled sex genes. Another strange hormone malfunction is androgen insensitivity syndrome, AIS. To put it simply, people with this screwed up chromosome combination look like women, but on their basic chemical level are men, with the XY chromosome rather than XX, like 100% of women. Let's go through the medical diagnosis and see if Ann Coulter looks like a good candidate. AIS sufferers typically have a female appearance in genitalia. They are usually, notes a medical report on the condition, larger in all body measurements, although with a tendency to a slim body. Another report cites, slight masculinization of the skeleton with proportionally longer legs and arms and larger hands and feet than the average double X woman. Standing around 6 feet tall, Coulter is as skinny as Karen Carpenter after an Auschwitz vacation, with spidery hands that could spread across 5 octaves of a piano. It looks like we're on a roll. One study reported that AIS women were often found, quote, in occupations that pay high salaries for attractive female appearance, such as modeling, acting, or prostitution. Looks like another hit. Coulter whores out to the tune of $25,000 per appearance to vomit her invective. Although AIS women have a vagina, they're missing ovaries, a cervix, and a uterus. The standard female innards just ain't there. Instead of ovaries, the AIS person has undescended or partly descended testicles. Translation, they literally have balls. Of course, it's not as if the lack of a womb makes a woman useless. The drawbacks of AIS sometimes turn out to be benefits. California OBGYN Vicky Huffnagel studied the history of the condition, stating, in the Old West, women with AIS were reportedly popular among the ranks of prostitutes. They were tall, lean, and couldn't get pregnant. So because of the hormone imbalance, AIS victims were as barren as burros, but well-suited for screwing dusty saddle tramps upstairs in a frontier saloon. So here we go. Coulter gives various conflicting birth dates, but she's definitely 40-ish, I would say 45-ish, has never been married, and has never had children. This is looking solid. Then there's that pesky Adam's apple. Okay, any emaciated wretch has sharp corners in places most women have curves, and it could be that the frog-sized lump in Coulter's throat might well disappear if the annoying neocon actually ate more than twice a week without throwing it all up. In any event, the presence of an Adam's apple on a woman is usually a clue to what lies below. If you've ever been bar crawling, had too many drinks, and reached down to get an unwanted surprise, you know what I mean. Okay. There's another more radical school of thought. Ann Coulter may indeed have a cock. The rare photos of the blabbermouth in slacks often reveal a suspicious bulge, and it ain't your mother's camel toe. A true hermaphrodite has a penis and a vagina, though neither tend to be fully developed. In adults, the vestigial dick might pass for a really engorged clit if you don't look too closely. But intersexuals usually have their life role decided by the doctors who get a gander at their 50-50 genitalia. A quick surgical procedure and presto, Denise becomes Dennis for the rest of his slash her life. Or Charlie becomes Charlene. The problem is that sexuality is not determined by plumbing, but by hormones. It's hormones that cause individuals to feel and think like men or like women or something in between. That men and women think differently is a biochemical fact. For example, the male hormone testosterone is linked with aggressive behavior. Even if a well-meaning surgeon goes along with mom and dad's decision to snip the extra mini dick off an intersex baby, and even if the parents raise the girl with pink chiffon, Barbie dolls, and cookie baking, the child's chemistry will inevitably scream, "Hey folks, I'm a boy!" All this can lead to gender identity confusion. You don't know what you are, so you're pissed at the world. Oh, sorry, I lost my place there. Okay, you don't know who you are, so you're pissed at the world. Quoting colleagues of his, George A. Reeker's Ph.D., a professor of neuropsychiatry and behavioral science at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine, and an expert on sex behavior patterns, describes a gender-puzzled child as, quote, belligerent, uncontrolled, and simultaneously lacking gentle and socially sensitive behaviors. He also uses the term hypermasculine, a cartoon version of being male. Sounds a lot like our grown-up Annie. That it does, eh? Anyway, moving on here. Sure, Dr. Eakers is a Christian academic with right-wing tendencies, but that doesn't make him a quack. He's authored 9 books and more than 120 articles on sexually confused kids. The doctor from Coulter's own ideological camp further explains, quote, in pathological cases, these children deviate from the normal pattern of exploring masculine and feminine behaviors and develop an inflexible, compulsive, persistent, and rigidly stereotyped pattern. Inflexible, compulsive, and persistent, rigidly stereotyped? Annie? Hello? Are you listening? Another study of intersexed women focused on a predisposition to sexual dysfunction, the inability to have good sex because of their, quote, shorter-than-average vaginas, an inability to respond to androgens, and anxieties or concerns about their condition, which could impact on self-esteem, body image, sensuality, and sexual function. To put it bluntly, intersex women, prone to difficulty with vaginal penetration, sexual infrequency, and non-communication, simply can't handle getting laid. It's true that Coulter, if it's true that Ann Coulter is an intersexual, it would almost be sad. The solution to the right-winger's self-loathing anger is a good fuck, and she just can't get it. So there you go. That's a story from Hustler. I'm trying to pull up for you real quick. George Will, actually, of all people, kind of weighed in on this issue, or did he? We're going to let you decide that for yourself. This is from This Week with Steffi Stephanopoulos, etc.
And this was a crowd of political activists. I don't think American liberalism has anything like this, do they, EJ? 5,000 people in one hotel, mm-hmm. many of them very young, all of them carnivores and looking for red meat.
Getting it from Ann Coulter.
Well, less said about him, the better. Mitt Romney did a wonderful job, and he brilliantly delivered a well-crafted speech, read from...
Who is Barack Obama? Is he change we can believe in? Larry Sinclair says he knew Barack Obama in 1999.
Mr. Obama acquired powder cocaine for my use, crack...
So there you have it. The less said about him, the better. Or the less said about whom, the better. It's an interesting question, isn't it? Anyway, let's listen to a public service announcement, and then we're going to go into this interview. It's actually a short film that's up for an Oscar, but in 1969, this 14-year-old kid got into the Toronto Bed-In and conducted a short interview with John Lennon. and we're going to listen to that. So keep listening.
John, could you please tell us what the situation is with you and when you're entering the United States?
A lot of people don't want me in, you know. They think I'm going to cause a violent revolution, which I'm not. And the others don't want me in because they don't want me to cause peace either, you know. Because peace is big. War is big business, you know. And they like war because it keeps them fast and happy. And I'm anti-war, so they're trying to keep me out. But I'll get in, you know, because they'll have to own up in public that they're against peace, you know.
What can we, as the youth of Toronto, like, what can we do to try and help you?
Help me by helping yourselves, you know, and the militant revolutionaries, ask them to show you one revolution that turned out to be what it promised militantly. That's take Russia from France anyway, they're at it. All they do is they smash the place down, then they build it up again, and the people that build it up hang on to it. And then they become the establishment. Now you guys are going to be the establishment in a few years. It's not worth knocking it down because it's convenient to have the rooms and the machinery. The thing is to protest, but protest non-violently. Because violence begets violence, you know, and if you run around wild, you get smacked, and that's it, you know, that's the laws of the universe. And they've got all the weapons, they've got all the money, and they know how to fight violence, because they've been doing it for thousands of years, suppressing us. And the only thing they don't know about is non-violence and humour. And there's many ways of promoting peace. Do everything for peace. Kiss for peace, or smile for peace, or go to school for peace, or don't go to school for peace. Whatever you do, just do it for peace. It's up to the people. You can't blame it on the government and say, they're doing this, they're going to put us into war. We put them there, and we allow it. You know, and we can change it. If we really want to change it, we can change it.
What about the Paul Ringo?
George. Individuals, and George was saying to me, George is doing it in his own way, with the way he goes about his life. It's no good shouting on the street corner, I want peace, and then beating up your mates. You better try and work your own head out, you know, and get non-violent. It's pretty hard, because we're all violent inside, we're all Hitler inside, we're all Christ inside, and it's just to try and work on the good bit of it.
I read in the paper that, you know, everyone seems to think that George is the nice guitarist and stuff like that. Like, I'm not too keen on George. I like him and everything like that, but,
yeah.
I have a feeling, you know, that you're sort of drifting away from people. You're still, like, sort of like a symbol, you know, Beatles, like God, and stuff like that. But no one in school, like, if you ask them who's your favorite group, they'll say the Bee Gees, you know. Like, I'll ask them, why don't you like the Beatles? You know, they're fantastic, they're great, etc. And they'll say, because, like, for example, the marijuana charges, and they're all hippies, and they're gone from us. They're dirty now.
Oh, I see. Well, those kids, they sound like Son of Square. They just got to get from under their parents' wings, you know.
I know, they're like robots, you know. Like, once I just got this feeling, you know, out of your WLP after I was listening to it for a long time, I started getting this feeling that there's a message in it, you know?
You know, messages are there on all levels, in all music. And whatever level you get it on, I've had it too when I wrote it or sang it. But some of that stuff, I write it, record it, and play it, and I don't hear it till a few months later, and I'm lying down with a cigarette, and I'll listen to the Beatles album and try and hear it in retrospect and not objectively. And it's about everything. So it's about UK, it's about USSR, and it's about nothing, it's about USA. But anything you hear is there. You know, it's all there, either trivia or profound whatever. It's all there, you know, and the same as in a flower, everything's there. You know, it just is, and if you look long enough, all answers are in it, you know, and the same with the music.
Oh, the key to the big box?
I don't know. I've no idea what it is.
Key to the big box? In his white jacket, maybe from last night.
Oh, okay. Well, I've just shoved that in the black hand case there.
Black shiny?
Yeah. No, not the black shiny case. My hand luggage in there. My last night's white jacket there. Thank you very much, sir. It's a pleasure, man. Your call. Bye-bye.
So there you go. A couple interesting things in there. That was, of course, in, I guess, the fall of 69. When he was asked about the other Beatles and what they do for peace, John totally ignored Paul, because, of course, Paul's dead. He would have been talking about the asshole phony Paul, who he didn't like much at that time at all. So he talked about what George was doing for peace. And, of course, George is very much into the Krishna consciousness, et cetera, et cetera. You can hear that in the song Brainwashed. Anyway, what else do we have? This is pretty interesting. The McCain was down in South America at the same time that a bunch of hostages were released. And so the question is, was this some kind of intelligence operation, or is it just a coincidence? And this was actually covered on MSNBC. So let's listen to that.
All right, so they got us out grandly. That is a quote of one of the hostages freed during John McCain's trip to Colombia.
Yep.
There you go. Front page of all the papers, though. An amazing story.
To rally his troops behind him and make this a cause, not just about whether John McCain should be sitting in the White House, but why he should be there and why this huge movement should support him and back him. And I think that, frankly, the voters he's got to win are the Hillary Democrats.
Yeah, just very quickly, one quote from the same article about the shakeup of McCain. They're talking about why McCain went to Colombia, and one of the strategists on his team said, it's simple. McCain says he wants to go to these places. We say, of course. So McCain just decided he wanted to be in Colombia, very fortuitous on this day that this amazing, amazing rescue happened. Even his own handlers, don't exactly know why he wants to go.
Suppose those guys had gone in there and the rebels had suspected something and they shot him up and killed a number of hostages and it was a bloody mess.
Then
McCain would have been blamed for it. He couldn't have known he was going to succeed.
Unless they knew that it was not going to be a failure. That's all I'm saying.
How do you know?
You're implying that they bought off the rebels?
I'm saying is that we see what happens in Iraq, that we're not going to negotiate with terrorists, we're not going to negotiate with these kidnappers, and then for some reason they're released and they're like, I want to make very clear, these people come home, individuals have been kidnapped, I couldn't be happier, however they get home. But we know that back-channel negotiations and things happen. We know that John McCain was down there fortuitously. We know he had someone on his staff who was a lobbyist for Colombia to do business down there. It just seems all very convenient right before the 4th of July.
Okay. Well, listen,
but
they're home, and I think we can all agree the fact that they're home is really good news.
And to add to your point, the New York Times says it's a happy coincidence. So I'm just saying that's how it's being reported.
The New York Times reports it. It must be true.
And there you go. So, you know, this very, very fortuitous, very, very interesting, very, very coincidental that that happened. So I think I'm going to leave you with a final report from our friends at the Onion News Network and Bob Dylan, real Bob Dylan, so-called bootleg tape from Robert Zimmerman. So, keep listening to Revere all the time. Peace.
I'm Juliana McCanus, sitting in for Clifford Baines, who is hunting down the scumbag who killed his father. PETA has been fighting for animal rights for decades, with little success. Shouldn't animals be helping more to win the fight for their rights?
Well, I'll tell you, right now, it's a very every animal for itself attitude out there. They need to organize.
Yes, I think animals need to take control of their own future, and I've been telling that to my dog for years.
I tell my cat.
But if they ever want to vote, they had better start learning how to march.
They have tried, and they have failed miserably. Do we remember when PETA tried to organize that Million Dog March down in Washington?
It
was a mess, you know. I mean, not only did they not build in the infrastructure for cleaning up after themselves, but it just was not organized.
It was a disaster.
We all agree. I think they have to stop eating each other and really kind of come to the table and say, all right, we're all on the same page here.
And that's what PETA doesn't understand.
Animals have traditionally been politically apathetic.
Well, animals need to demand their rights to fair animal trials. Then they can wear little robes and dress up like lawyers and kind of have a jury.
Don't forget the little hats.
I agree, but which of them deserves the rice.
Well, I know one that doesn't deserve the rice, and that's the water buffalo. And I will be dead and in the ground, eaten by maggots, before I see a water buffalo same rights as I.
If PETA dropped the so-called problem animals, would they have more success?
If anything, the great white sharks, the anacondas, and the...
I don't like those hermit crabs.
For me, the only thing that's keeping me from being a card-carrying member of PETA is their persistent support of the water buffaloes.
I mean, nobody is going to argue with that point.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, some people do argue
What should
that
they
point.
Do to get these rights for animals?
Just keep throwing paint on people.
Because people love having paint thrown on them.
Yes, it's lovely.
I will not go down under the ground, 'cause somebody tells me that death's coming round. And I will not carry myself down to die. When I go to my grave, my head will be high. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. There's been rumors of war and wars that have been. The meaning of life has been lost in the wind. And some people thinking that the end is close by. Instead of learning to live, they are learning to die. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. I don't know if I'm smart, but I think I can see when someone is pulling the wool over me. And if this war comes and death's all around, let me die on this land before I die underground. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. There's always been people that have to cause fear. They've been talking about a war now for many long years. I've read all their statements and I've not said a word. But now, Lord God, let my poor voice be heard. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Let me drink from the waters where the mountain streams flood. Let the smell of wildflowers flow free through my blood. Let me sleep in your meadows with the green grassy leaves. Let me walk down the highway with my brother in peace. Let me die in my footsteps before I go down under the ground. Go out in your country where the land meets the sun. See the craters and the canyons and where the waterfalls run. Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Idaho. Let every state in this union seep deep down in your soul. And you'll die in your footsteps before you go